publicly accusing former Paraguayan Army Chief Lino Oviedo of masterminding his father's assassination.
Debt strapped Guyana has become only the third country to meet terms for a key international debt relief program.
For the latest news, views, and analysis from Latin America and the Caribbean, tune into Our Americas every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. From the pages of NACLA's report on the Americas to Pacifica Radio's award-winning coverage of the hemisphere. Keep up to date about the region on Our Americas, the weekly report on Latin America and the Caribbean, Friday afternoons at 5 p.m., only on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Hi, this is Spike Lee, and you are listening to WBAI Community Radio in New York City. WBAI exists almost entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing. So I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse. But if they could, they would. Oh, Dilly Bomb, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bum Dilly Bo!
And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. We're here with you once again this Tuesday evening from 8 to 9. Good evening, Isaac. How are you?
Wave.
How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm pretty good. It's been a busy week. A lot of things to configure and set up and catch up on.
Did sleep one of them?
Today sleep was one of them. I think I slept something like 16 hours because I've been up for 2 days. It's the only way to get things done, really, is to stay up for 2 days sometimes and just deal with all the people that are only up at 7 in the morning.
Well, I know for what.
Yeah. And I've been through a bureaucratic nightmare with these morons down at the passport agency, you know, because my passport expired. If you recall, 10 years ago was when I first went someplace interesting. That was the Galactic Hacker Party in Amsterdam, and I had to get a passport for that.
Right.
And in June 13th, that's when my passport expired. And I realized, hey, you know, I want to go over there again this summer. I want to go to some countries that require visas and things like that. So I have to start working it out now. So I sent them, I expedited it through the post office. Went down to the post office, said, hey, look, I got to get a visa, right? And I have to start doing that now. I don't have any proof of travel because it takes time to get the actual visa first. And then that's when you come up with your travel plans. They require you to prove that you have some place to stay when you go to these countries.
Right.
So they won't give you that proof until you have a valid passport. And my passport was expiring.
They being the place you're going,
yes,
won't give
they,
you.
They won't do that. So I have to show them I have a valid passport. My passport was expiring, so I have to renew my passport before I can get the permission to go into that country, which takes generally about 60 days or so to do this. So I had to get my passport renewed without proof that I was going there because I couldn't get that proof to go there until I got my passport renewed. You see how it works?
It's a basically very vicious circle.
It's a collision of bureaucracy. So I went to the post office and I said, okay, here, post office, I want to expedite this, meaning I have to pay an extra fee. I have to pay for two overnight mail delivery things. And I did all this. I did all this. And I was worried. I was worried that they would take my old passport and throw it away, lose it.
You never do that.
It has lots of nice stamps on it. I'd like to keep it. But they say you send it to them and they send it back to you. No exceptions. I was very happy when the guy just looked at my passport and didn't take it. I said, wow, okay, great. I don't have to give it in. Apparently I satisfied the proof that I'm a citizen. Well, 10 days went by. And I said, well, you know, this isn't exactly expedited service here. So I called them. You know, you can't call the passport people. You can't. You have to call a 900 number and pay a couple dollars a minute to talk to them.
They don't
talk to you. They're too busy. Too busy doing things.
They're not too busy. They're only too busy until you can pay for their time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And then they come right on the phone. They talk very slowly.
So
they
you
make
want
sure
to leave the country.
So,
well,
what I did was I asked them what's going on, and they said, oh, yeah, we held that up because we have no proof that you're a citizen. And that really, that annoyed me so much. I can't tell you how much that annoyed me. First of all, these are the passport people. Don't they have a copy of my previous passport? Can't they say, yeah, this matches. This is the same guy. As I recall, I took two pictures. I only got one back, which means they must have the other one. I don't think they just gave it away to some people someplace. So they know it's the same person. They know I'm a citizen. Anybody knows I'm a citizen. It's them. But they say, no, sorry, we can't do anything until you submit your other passport. It's like, well, were you ever going to tell me this in the first place, or were you just going to sort of sit back with your arms folded and wait for me to make the first move?
No, they wanted to wait for you to collect the $2 from you.
So now nearly 3 weeks have gone by. I basically FedEx my passport with, you know, I know I'm never going to see this thing again. I FedEx it to them yesterday, so they should have it now. And I told them, look, I already paid for expedition, so please expedite this and, you know, get this over with. It may be too late already, though.
A brief question?
Yeah.
Why didn't you make an appointment and deal all this out in person down at Hudson Street?
No, that's a very good question. But if you go into that little Touchtone nightmare system,
I have.
You'll find that you have to wait at least a month to get an appointment. You can't just walk in there. Would you like to try it right now?
Well, when I did it, basically it was a 3-day wait.
Well, there was no 3-day wait here. I'll tell you that. It's mid-July.
Mid-July was when they said your appointment was for?
Well, I checked this a couple of days ago, actually, and mid-July was the next available one. And that's way too late.
All right, that's interesting, because when I actually
did
it,
you know why that is? The reason is because everyone's traveling now. So if there was a place I could go where you waited online for a long period of time and did it that way, I'd do that. But in order to do that, you have to show proof of travel plans, and I don't have that yet because I can't get the travel plans until I get the passport.
You can argue with them there, and they'll usually do it. Actually, if you're still interested, you can go up to Connecticut. Because Connecticut, you don't need an appointment.
You think so, huh? Go to the website, and you'll see that Connecticut, as of January 9th or something, does require appointments now. So
okay,
how about
Virginia?
How about I just escape from the country and never come back? I mean, that's really what I feel like doing.
Well, you're not a citizen, so, you know, you don't...
Yeah, I might as well be deported. How about that? I get myself deported, and that leads to everything I need to go to. It's horrible. It really is. If there's any Russian listeners out there, that's the country I'm trying to go to, and you can show that I have a place to stay, please email me, and maybe I can work this out after all. But Trans-Siberian Express, that's what I'm trying to do.
Really?
With a couple other people, yeah. It should be interesting. It's a long train ride. It's like the LIRR, except multiply it by about 30 or something.
With less interesting people?
Take away the polite conductors, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work.
Okay.
It might be the worst thing I've ever done in my life.
I'm assuming that not everybody is, like, asleep or reading the same paper.
I can't sleep on a train,
like,
so that's going to make it very interesting.
Okay.
I'll be a nervous wreck. We're talking about
the fellow people on the LIRR.
They have no problem sleeping. I don't understand how people sleep on trains, or on airplanes, on buses, or anything like that. I just don't understand. When you're in motion, it's very nerve-wracking. So I might need to get off every few Siberian towns and hang out there for a couple of days. Who knows? Plus, I'm going to have to call into the radio show when I'm over there.
Ooh.
And can't do that from a train, I don't think.
Well, you got to get an Iridium phone.
Well, even with my GSM service, I don't think they have it all. They don't have it wired around here, so how are they going to wire Siberia?
I don't really think it's wired at all. Get one of those Iridium phones. You can, like, maybe bring the company out of hock by buying one. And, you know, they'll pat you on the back and say, oh, well, you know, we'll have some fun.
All right.
Might even give you a deal.
Speaking of having fun, we haven't checked our voicemail in a couple of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do right now, is check our voicemail. Do we have a dial tone, please? Sounds a bit off, doesn't it?
I think that's the music in the background.
Okay. Let's give a call. If we can get touch tones, there we go.
Yes, you've reached Off the Hook on the phone. We're not here right now. In fact, we're never at this number, but you can leave a message and maybe...
Okay, let's skip ahead and enter our voicemail.
Please enter your mailbox number.
Okay, all this I'm going to do without turning the microphone on.
Please enter your mailbox number.
Okay, let's try that again.
Please enter your security code.
Okay, that's the tricky part.
You have 7 saved messages. To listen to your messages, press L. To record and send a message, press RS. For the complete main menu of features, press press 0. Ready.
Okay, we have to hit L to listen. Ready? Here we go.
Well, this is GPM. I was wondering, at the protest, there was a lady from WBI, a reporter, and she said that the protest was going to be broadcast on the day's news. Does anybody have a copy of that? Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, well, the answer to that question is there was a newscast where...
The message has been saved.
Yeah.
To erase the message, press E. To listen to the next message, press L.
All right, let me answer the question first, then we'll listen to the next message. It was on the newscast, and you can find it archived on the show, which took place immediately after the demonstration. Next message.
Hi, Emmanuel. I see you've set up the mailbox, and I'm just calling to give you a few quick technical specs on it that I found. First of all, about half of all the options are non-functioning. If you try them, as you'll see, it says call your system administrator, something like that. But you may want to turn on the time day stamp if it's not already on, and you'll find that it's on Eastern Standard Time. So, in other words, the calls say an hour earlier than they've actually come in at. Each call is about 2 minutes in length, and it's about 20 minutes total capacity. You'll find it gets clogged up very quickly. To get the free time without making a phone call, I found that CBS AM, 880 AM, on the hour, if you listen very close to this little thing, well, time and again, I've checked and rechecked that, it always corresponds exactly to the paid telephone company time signal. And that's sent out from the National Bureau of Standards, I believe. So, just some quick techie things, and I'll let it go with that. Congratulations on getting the thing set up. I won't clog it anymore unless there's something really important to say. Thanks, bye.
Okay, that's a very interesting.
The message has been saved.
Because if you listen to that radio station, you hear the time every 2 minutes, so you don't just have to hear it on the top of the hour. There's plenty of ways to get the time for free, right?
For a complete list of listening options.
All right, let's erase that one so we can open up some room.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox.
Fair enough. Oh, now I have to hit L again to listen to the next message.
Hi, Emmanuel Goldstein.
Oh, boy.
Of course you know who this is.
Yeah.
I'd like to demonstrate some things. First, I'd like to demonstrate the fact that a lot of places ask you if you're calling from a touch-tone phone. Please hold while I call an 800 number.
You know this isn't going to work. You know that.
No, is he actually...
The message has
been saved.
To erase the
he
message,
paused for too long.
To listen to the next message,
so of course,
press L.
The next message is probably going to be him doing it again. Here we go.
The message will be erased when you exit your mailbox. Ready.
All right, listen.
Hi, it's me again. Please hold us. Sorry about that.
How many of these messages are going to be from him? All right, let's see what he does anyway.
From Radio Shack, if you are calling from a touchtone phone, press 1.
Now, what else would I be calling from? I mean, what country do you think I'm in?
He made that same comment on our show.
Okay, that's my demonstration. All right.
The message has been saved.
What did he demonstrate? This is.
Listen to the next.
Hi, it's me again.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
How certain voicemail and automated attendance systems are so annoying when you want somebody right away, a live person. When you press 0, it should go, you're a live person. Sometimes it doesn't. I'll hold on and I'll demonstrate.
Same thing going to happen again?
He's an expert on annoying things.
Yeah.
The message has been saved.
I don't believe this.
To erase the message,
this is what clogs up the system. Messages like, please, people, if you call the voicemail, just one message per week, at most.
Hi. I have to call on 2 different phones to demonstrate the fact that voicemail systems are so annoying, some automated attendance. When you dial 0, you want to get a live person. You don't have time for the nonsensical press 1 for this and press 2 for that. So let me demonstrate how some voicemail systems can be very annoying. I'm going to call British Airways. Okay, I'm going to call British Airways. Hold on.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Okay.
He's really
listen
calling.
To what happened.
Thank you for calling British Airways.
I want a representative.
Sorry,
that
is not a valid.
Hello, I want the representative. I mean, now they're connecting me with a representative. Didn't they, like, know that in the first place? You know, like, the first place when I pressed zero the first time? I mean, didn't they know? I mean, isn't that annoying? Like, sometimes when you're in a hurry, that, you know, you don't have time for that.
The message has been saved.
It's kind of funny hearing him talk without us responding. Kind of like that effect. It's sort of like a surreal horror film type of thing.
It's far more interesting when you can hit that whatever key. It's probably like Z or something.
Uh-huh.
Where you can erase him.
He's gone?
Hello? In the past... Oh, hello, Manuel. In the past, I tried to write you. I never heard from you. And call you. And got a very kind of negative type of response. I wanted to ask you about a telephone problem I had, and perhaps I didn't communicate it properly. Anyway, I would be very much interested in... Oh, and by the way, I don't know. I think by mistake I erased a couple of my messages just prior to the one I'm talking about now. I would like to know if you can have any information about this, or what your viewpoint, what you have to say about the Y2K bug. I don't have a computer. I don't plan on having one. Not everyone can afford one, and it's hard to deal with computer snobs, you know, who can buy all that expensive equipment. I certainly don't know if you'll respond. In the past, you haven't. I also have a bit of intelligence, you know, curiosity to know. But I've enjoyed listening to your past programs. It's just very hard to pin you down, and if I write to you, probably I'd never hear from you. And I was wondering if in your 2100 magazine, if you have a copy I could buy about what you... might have to say about the Y2K bug. On other stations, I hear a lot about how dangerous it could be. And I tend to agree with you about ABC. I listen a lot to art.
The message has been saved.
Okay, well, that demonstrates the maximum length of a message.
I like that. Okay.
Next.
All right, that's interesting. Well, now, I don't know how someone can get no response and get a negative response at the same time, but basically, you really can't expect someone to you know, to get back to all the listeners. It's impossible because we get a ton of phone calls.
Well, she's complaining about the people from 2100, so...
It must be a totally different group of people,
yeah, really.
But basically, let's erase that message there.
Will be erased when you exit your mailbox.
If you come to the 2600 meetings, that's generally the best time to actually talk to people in person, and they happen every first Friday of the month.
One's coming up.
Yeah, one's coming up this Friday, Citicorp Center, between 5 and 8 p.m., so maybe we'll see you there.
Next message. Going to the first message.
Oh, no, I guess we don't want that.
Okay,
we're going to erase that one.
The message will be erased when you exit.
Are there any more messages?
Ready.
Hi, Amanda. I see you set up the mailbox.
Yeah, we,
calling.
I guess we heard them all. Okay, listen to this. These are all the options that we have. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Listening has been paused. To continue listening, press the star key. To back up to the beginning and listen, press VV. To listen to the next message, press L. To exit the listen mode, press the pound key. For a complete list of listening options, press 0.
That's
ready.
This is the one. Ready?
These are the options you have while listening to a message. To record a reply, press RE. To have the message forwarded, press MF. To make a call to the sender of the message, press MC. To exit the listen mode, press the pound key. To hear the time, date, and sender of the message, press PI. To save the message, press SA. To erase the message, press E. To listen to messages in reverse order, press RL. To listen to the next message, press L. To back up, then continue listening, press B. To back up to the beginning and listen, press BB. To go forward, then continue listening, press G. To pause while listening, press the star key. To continue listening after a pause, press the star key. To select the list of new messages, press 1N. To select select the list of saved messages, press 1S. To select the list of held messages, press 1H. To select the list of all messages, press 1A. To turn the volume up, press VU. To turn the volume down, press VD. To restore the volume to normal, press VN. To exit your mailbox, press X. Ready.
Okay, I'm ready to hang up, and they're gone.
I remember back in high school, a bunch of people used to make these little things when they'd have a test that would hold, like, useful facts. I think they were called cheat sheets.
Yeah, you'd need
one. I really ought to learn how to make one of those.
There is nobody ever in existence that can memorize all that. I've played with so many voicemail systems over the years, too. I've never heard a list that long. And it's great. It's all ours.
It's all letters. And you know, actually, there was the one number in there, like 1N or something like
they
that.
They ran out of letters.
They ran out of letters, yeah. What happens if you have to use Q or Z? Because some people put the Q and the Z on the 0, and others put it on 1, and then sometimes it gets really messed up.
She did say Z, didn't she?
I think she did.
Z isn't always on the 9. It is on these phones.
Well, sometimes it's on the 1. You know, Q and Z. I've seen
sometimes
Q and Z
it's on the
0.
If you have an old phone, it's on a 0.
Yeah.
Whew. Poor chap's here. Hey, how you doing?
Hello there. Just thought on this this Z thing. This system might be specific to this type of phone, this type of... this is a special BAI phone system thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see this type of phone anywhere else. Maybe this voicemail system specifically designed for this phone alone.
Uh-huh.
So the Z is always where it is on his phone, wherever
so
it might be.
So if he's out in Siberia and he wants to check the messages, he can't because he doesn't know what the Z is?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, they don't have the same letters in the phones there anyway.
Yeah,
they have to have Cyrillic letters.
Well, what about the Iridium? Will that have the properly positioned Z?
Well, it's going to cost several $100 to find out, right?
Yeah, really but that it. Hasn't stopped you before.
That's true.
$2 a minute.
But I think it's going to stop me now. Hey, we have this interesting bit of news, which I actually found while going through an old newspaper. Did you know that there's a country code for Palestine that has been assigned, but I don't think it's actually in use yet? The International Telecommunications Union quietly announced in January that area code 970 had been reserved for the Palestinian National Authority in the West Bank and Gaza. And Israel's really pissed off about this because... It predates the actual settlement, and they wanted to be able to make their own terms for a country code, so they're pretty angry. Let's see if 970 works anywhere. I don't know how we'll actually get through. I guess we'll try 011, and then 970. Oh, and then let's put in the phone number for the radio station. That way when the bill comes in, we can say, must be some sort of mistake. But there won't be a bill, I promise. I don't think there's going to be a phone call either. Okay, that's what happens. Do you think we can ask the operator without getting charged if there's a country code? Let's see if we can do this.
I'd like to make a call. That'll cost you 75 cents.
Yeah. Well, information is not going to be able to tell me what a country code is. There's no question about that.
AT&T. To place a call, please dial the number...
Operator, damn it.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Can get very creative
AT&T,
with it.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, operator. I was wondering if you could tell me if 970 is a valid country code.
One moment.
Thank you.
It's not a country code, but there's an area code in the United States that's 970.
No, that's very different. Okay, well, thanks anyway.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Well, apparently they've set it up, but it's not actually in service yet because they say that the Palestinian Authority does not have the switches necessary to do this. They have a flag, they have various other things, but they don't have the routing information. They don't have the switching system. So if you have a switching system that you want to donate to the Palestinian Authority, I guess you could email us and we could get a hold of
our
contacts over there.
Palestinians care of WBAI.
Well, no, I don't want to burden BAI's infrastructure with that, so you can just contact us over the internet, OTH.
Oh, okay, fine.
OTH at 2600.com.
But I want to play in the big box.
Yeah. Well, they do have some work to do before the new code starts. They need a switch, a numbering plan. At the moment, they don't have either, said Francine Lambert, chief spokesman for the... International Telecommunications Union. Okay.
Here's a thought.
Yes.
If they had, would they charge you for finding out what that area code was?
No, they didn't charge me, obviously. I don't think country codes, they charge you to find out what they are because they don't know how to route the call.
You asked for the country code, mm-hmm. but then she said there's an area code in the United States.
If I had
like
fallen for that and said, yeah, where's 970 area code, probably the next thing I would have heard would be a ring of information, and I would have been billed a dollar for that.
Good point. You didn't request that, though. You asked for the country code.
That's true.
So you could, like, go to court with that.
I could go to court. There's lots of things I could go to court about. I could spend the rest of my life in court, but I don't think I'm going to have time for that right now. One thing we neglected to do was mention the phone number for our voicemail, which we always forget to do, and it's important that we give it out. 212-209-2967 is the number to call if you can't get through on the phone. Oh, and by the way, if Rebel's out there, of course, you've used up your airtime for this week. Yeah, I thought of this beforehand. So that's it. That's it for this week. You've gotten more airtime than anyone else. All right, let's look at some news items. First of all, look at this letter I got. You see this letter?
It's brown.
It's brown. It says on it, do not interrupt delivery. It also says, postmaster, important documents enclosed. Contents require immediate attention. Please handle in conformance with mail security regulations as outlined in section number D.600.1.0 of the U.S. Postal Service Domestic Mail Manual.
Did you win $10 million?
This is not a contest.
Oh.
This looks like an official government notice of some sort. It looks like something you get from the IRS, actually. It scared the bejesus, whatever that is, out of me when I saw this thing. So I open it up. What do you think it is?
Jury duty.
Urgent contribution reply to help rescue our 13 brave house managers from Clinton's $60 million revenge machine. Where do these people get the money for this kind of thing, and why am I on their list? I get Republican mail now, like, every day. I think someone's playing a practical joke on me. But their telegrams, boxes, they're all kinds of, like, really elaborate things to get you to open the mail and to make you think that it's something official. It's really pretty scary. So they want a contribution. They say the average gift should be $28 that I should send them.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah. And sometimes they're handwritten letters. They look like they're handwritten letters, but they're actually computerized. But really, I mean, look at this. It's unbelievable. Ugh. So if you have interesting mail, please let us know about that, too, because it's pretty frightening. All right, news items, things that are going on in the news. How about this? A Chinese-born college student said he was consumed by immaturity and frustrations when he sent threatening and racially derogatory emails to dozens of Hispanics. Kingman Kwan. Kingman, what an interesting name. Kingman. Huh. Kingman Kwan, 23 years old, was sentenced Monday to 2 years in federal prison for 7 misdemeanor counts of interfering with federally protected activities. What do you suppose that is, federally protected activity?
I'd like that to be elaborated upon.
He pleaded guilty in February. Basically what he did was he sent threatening email to certain people. He apologized to his victims and told the judge he let his immaturity get the best of him when he sent the messages. One of Kwan's emails went to State Assemblywoman Gloria Romero. Either her name is Gloria Romero de Alhambra, or she's a Democrat representing Alhambra, because it's D-Alhambra, and I'm not sure where Alhambra is. I'm gonna bet on the former. Yeah, Gloria Romero, Democrat of Alhambra, which is in California, I would imagine. Probably all our California listeners are angry now because I don't know the geography there. Well, I'm sorry. I can't know everything. Anyway, Kwan apologized to the assemblywoman, and the two hugged after the hearing.
Aww.
I heard his apology, and I believe that it is real, and I am grateful for what he said. A marketing major at California State Polytechnic University at Pomona, Kwan sent the same racially derogatory email in March 1998 to 42 professors at California State University of Los Angeles and 25 students at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The only reason you people are in state colleges is because of affirmative action, the message read. Kwan also sent the messages to employees of Indiana University, Xerox Corporation, the Texas Hispanic Journal, the Internal Revenue Service, that's real bright, and NASA's Ames Research Center. And as a condition of probation, Kwan will not be allowed to use a computer or the internet without permission of probation officials for a year after his release from prison. Yeah, I think this is a big waste of time. I mean, the guy did something stupid. He was a racist idiot. But, you know, there are ways of learning your lesson without 2 years in prison. I think he's going to learn a lot more hatred in there. So it's a big waste. What do you think? You think we should be sending people to jail for sending harassing email?
No.
Find the guy, maybe, you know, make the guy see the error of his ways, but that doesn't always involve sending someone to prison. It's just a big way. And then to regulate the internet after that?
Well, for very many years, we've been having flame wars on the most
stupid topics. Why this guy is suddenly going to federal prison?
Well, it's not a flame war. It's an attack. But even so, it's an attack on the internet. It's an insult. You know, there's racism around us every single day. The way to deal with it is not to send people to prison because they say things that are stupid and wrong.
Well, then how would you suggest it be dealt with? Just out of curiosity.
Well, the guy obviously is sorry. The assemblywoman says, I heard his apology. I believe that is real. I am grateful for what he said. I think they've gotten through to him. I think this guy is not going to do this again. I think he's realized how stupid he was. I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, hey, maybe that's enough. You know, maybe that's all we need to do is convince someone that what they said was stupid, hurtful, and ultimately bad for everybody.
Give them a hug and send them on their way.
Well, you know, it might be kind of naive. Maybe you need to do more. But I just don't think sending somebody to prison, I think that's equally naive, is that prison is going to answer all the questions.
I agree. Sending to somebody to prison over this is pretty lame. And in fact, the recipients of this mail should have tougher skins and realize that this is some, you know, immature little...
Oh, you should see the mail I get. You should see what people call me.
Ignore it. Delete. That's what you have a D key for, or whatever number it is on the stupid voicemail system that has...
Well, you can't always ignore it, though. I mean, sometimes this points to things... Sometimes it points to things that are real. Sometimes it points to really dangerous people that are going to act upon the things they say. And you do have to pay attention to that kind of thing. But it doesn't always mean that the only way to solve a problem is to send somebody to prison. I just don't think... You're basically ruining somebody's life. You know, he's going to be... In 2 years, he's going to be in prison... I don't know. It seems like there's a better way to deal with things. And with over 2 million prisoners already, I don't think we need to be adding more people to the system.
He shouldn't be going to prison.
Yeah.
We at least agree on that.
All right.
We probably agree on a lot more, but we just didn't realize.
Well, we only have an hour, so we can't agree on everything in that amount of time. Let's see. Government websites and computer networks are increasingly vulnerable to cyber attacks because they lack trained personnel and don't follow security plans. Federal officials warned a congressional committee on June 24th. Few people have adequate training to defend government websites, and those who do seldom work in government for long.
Question?
Yes.
I thought vulnerability was a binary operation where you're either vulnerable or not. How can something become increasingly vulnerable?
Well, I guess they become increasingly negligent. They're not talking about a particular person. They're talking about government websites.
Oh, so more and more websites are becoming vulnerable?
Well, as more websites exist, the vulnerability increases. As more vulnerabilities are exposed, more security holes.
Well, the holes have already been there. I mean...
Well, obviously things are being hacked more now than they were, say, 2 years ago. Websites, anyway. It's different because...
The websites have always been vulnerable. It's just a matter of there are more people, like, downloading scripts and blindly typing .slash, you know, hack and feeling like, well,
but,
we'll get into that.
But, you know, the other thing is that what's being hacked today is very different from what was being hacked in previous years, or at least what was primarily being hacked in previous years.
Well, the activity itself is
phone different. Phone company, yeah. Computers, and banking systems, perhaps. Things that we sometimes ignorantly say hackers are doing. Well, now it's web pages, and it's like, that's not a big deal. That shouldn't be a big deal. It's something that's easily fixed. It's just something that is kind of embarrassing because basically your front page to the world is saying something that you don't want it to say. Speaking of which, this is kind of interesting, too. I'm on a tangent here. Somebody sent us this. There's a website for Rosette's Thesaurus.
Ooh.
Heard about this one?
It's a very useful website.
It is a very useful website. Basically, it gives you a word of the day, new word every day from dictionary.com, fun and games, crossword puzzles, and more. And, of course, if you're looking for a word, for a different word than the one you want to say, you simply enter it, and it gives you a word or phrase that means the same thing.
Cool.
Now, that website looks fine. If you go to it, thesaurus, you have to spell thesaurus right, obviously, .com, T-H-E-S-A-U-R-U-S.
Does anybody else have, like, the registrations on the misspellings of thesaurus?
I imagine, probably, people with a lot of free time on their hands. If you view the source to that web page, view the source, you'll see midway down the first page a little comment there. It just says, "Free Kevin."
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's really cool because either somebody hacked the site and was very subtle about it, didn't cause any change to the site whatsoever except to insert a little comment inside the source, which only certain people would know to look for, or the people running it are actually cool in the head, you know, and they know that this is an injustice, and they've inserted it in places that certain people will see it. And I think that's what we can expect from everybody out there. Insert those words wherever you can.
Either way.
Without getting in trouble.
Whoever's involved.
Yes. So.
If it was, in fact, a hacker, thank you for being elegant.
But the person doing this, if it wasn't authorized, they could find themselves going to jail too. Because they accessed a federal interest computer, perhaps, or did something over state lines, committed a crime, 5 years in prison, they just ship him off. You know, and I think that's wrong. That's just a big waste of time. It's wrong. It's silly.
If it is the people at Rojets, good for you, too. Yeah.
Definitely.
Equally elegant.
Computer hackers defaced the Army's main website in the latest digital attack on a federal system. Pentagon workers noticed it early yesterday and repaired it. Major Jim Stwev said administrators believe hackers altered the U.S. Army homepage site between 8 p.m. Sunday and 5 a.m. Monday, but no internal systems were affected. That's a pretty long gap of time where they don't know what's going on.
Well, that's 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. sitting at the desks.
That's pretty amazing. Here's the thing. There were no security breaches, he said.
No. It didn't breach our security.
Right, they altered the homepage, but there were no security breaches. This is some kind of hacking. I have yet to understand how it works. It's pretty cool, hacking without security breaches. The altered site announced the attack has a purpose to settle rumors about the demise of the loosely organized hacker group that claimed responsibility for the May attack on the White House website.
Who was that?
You know, I'm going to piss off a lot of people by saying, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know who did it. Just somebody did it. Another message hidden within the altered page's computer code urged people who saw it to trust very few people. It's always good advice.
Yeah.
Stuev said he noticed the defaced page when he arrived for work this morning. How do you like that? The one guy in the Army notices...
Scratches his head and goes, gee, that shouldn't be there.
But not only that, he notices it when he comes to work. Like, the first thing he does is check the website page to see if it's up.
Well, he may log into the machine and, like, MSIE or Netscape immediately
but
opens,
he didn't
and that's
check,
the homepage.
He didn't check phone messages to see the hundreds of people that left messages
well,
saying,
you know,
hey,
you
your website's
your
computer
been hacked. On and you look up and, oh, gee, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But the thing is, anybody in the world could have done the same thing and noticed it first.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was replaced by 6 a.m. I just looked at it and just went on to my favorites, other sites, and blew it off because I knew they were going to get to it right away, he said. What does that mean?
That somebody would take care of it immediately because they would also see it.
Okay. The attack comes in the wake of several others in prominent government internet sites, including those of the White House, FBI, and Senate. Military pages have long been favorites of hackers. They're just so cool, you know?
How long?
As long as they've been around, I guess. I don't know.
Who, the military or the hackers?
Well, both.
We've both existed for some time, and, you know, hacking military websites is fairly recent in my view.
That's true.
Nor is it actually very productive.
Let's take a quick look at some listener mail, and then we'll move on to phone calls, 212-209-2900. Hey there, I wrote you a few months back about the cable services up in Maine, Time Warner Cable's Roadrunner Services. Figured why not drop a line, give you an update. So far, it is still doing well. As usual, the technicians and office employees are very ignorant as to how it works and how to troubleshoot any small problems that may occur, but if you know what you're doing yourself, you can easily get by. It has a few ups and downs, things such as entire nodes to certain towns failing and things like that, but they're usually working again within a few hours. Speed is also decent in optimal conditions. Time where there is a low user number and connected to another machine with a decent amount of bandwidth, speed can be great. I've seen anywhere from 500K a second average to maxing out my machine's Ethernet port and crashing at 1.2 megasecond.
That's so he crashes great. At 1.2 meg, like, oh, I can't take it!
Apparently, yeah. Okay. In response to the listener from Brooklyn's call on the 622 show regarding unactivated cellular phones, first of all, this should only happen on digital 800 megahertz or PCS 1900 megahertz cellular phones. Most, if not all, AMPS phones allow you to be patched through to an operator by dialing zero. You should always be able to make a 611, a customer service phone call, even if the phone is not hooked up or activated. Of course, that's different for every phone service. 611 doesn't work on all of them. You have to know what the code is. What's Sprint? It's Star 2, or is that OmniPoint?
Sprint is Star 2.
Okay. Usually, through a bit of asking/begging/demanding, you can be patched through to an operator who will connect the call. Furthermore, even if the phone is not activated, if you attempt to place a call, you should be patched through to a routing/roaming system, which oftentimes will allow you the chance to place a credit card, calling card, etc. call with your digital or PCS cellular phone. This has been tried and tested on a few different services, AT&T Wireless, US West, Advanced PCS, etc. That comes from Echo Mirage. Thanks so much for the information. When it hits the fan, I won't say what it is, It really hits the fan. Having the SS in schools is just wrong, and I should know. I'm a sophomore at Amity High School in Woodbridge, Connecticut. It's a community high school of three towns, Bethany, Orange, and Woodbridge. Ever since the Colorado incident, we have had at least one police officer in the school at all times, which changed to 2 to 3 cops after an incident of graffiti, which is very, very surprising in such a suburban slash rural area. Talking about Trenchcoat Mafia 2 coming after track stars, burnouts, and Uyghurs.
That's just distasteful.
And also a piece of graffiti in another locker room, supposedly unconnected, threatening to kill the principal on Friday. Give some time to get his affairs in order. At least they tell you, you know. Back when I went to school, we just said we're going to kill the principal, and we'd never say when. Yeah, the kids of today are a lot more considerate. These two were connected. It's just a joke, people. Lighten up. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all the frowning people out there.
That I don't count sense. As a frowning person?
Well, you're not frowning. That's how your face always looks.
Oh, okay.
These two were connected by all the students, and on the upcoming Friday after the incident, we had a less than one-third attendance rate. Couldn't get into school without going through metal detectors and backpack checks. It was also said that the night before, all the lockers were opened and searched by canine police units. Pretty scary, don't you think? These kids or adults who did this graffiti obviously only wanted a day off, which they got, but everyone, including the newspapers, blew it out of proportion. They, with their added security measures and constant police presence, gave the kids something to be afraid of. I could give two whatevers about some coward writing something on the wall. I went that Friday because if I didn't, I'd just be giving them what they wanted. Anyways, what I'm getting at is that we shouldn't be afraid to go to school. We should be concentrating on our studies, not watching our backs for someone with a bag of bombs and a shotgun. I'm just getting really tired of all this. Please respond, because you usually don't. Well, I'm responding. I'm responding. Signed, Craig. That's right on. That's exactly what people should be doing.
What if he doesn't listen to the show?
What's he writing to the show for if he doesn't listen to the show?
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Here's someone else who had a problem listening to the show. I was recently trying to listen to the two off-the-hook June 1999 files, but my computer is too slow, and it will take me 6 hours just to listen to 1 hour of the show. I also tried to download the Linux browsers that don't support streaming audio files, but my browser, an incomplete MSIE 4.01, will not download the files. Is there any way that you could email me the two files? Thank you, signed, Bloodcard. Porkchop, why don't you answer this one?
Well, I read that one at about 5 o'clock this morning, and I scratched my head. I'm wondering, first off, obviously, how is email going to get it any faster there?
Exactly, yeah.
How slow does a computer have to be in order to download a 1 hour stream over 6 hours?
No, it's the speed of the connection, not the speed of the computer.
Well, no, he said speed of computer, though.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think, how slow does the computer have to be to only accept this at the speed of...
Pretty slow.
Pretty slow,
pretty,
yeah.
Pretty slow.
Anyone
with a decent connection, a decent computer... And by decent, I mean, you know, 286 or above, should really have no problems.
No. I think it's 486 that they make the... that it has to be to read real audio.
Real audio won't work on the 286 or 386?
I think the compression is too much for it.
Well, I do know I had a 386 and I was using real audio a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And if I moved the mouse a little bit, it would tie things up, and that was bad.
Well, but we're also now to version 5 instead of version 3. As
right. You might need an earlier version.
Back in the old days.
That's hard to find, obviously, but... yeah, you gotta move at the times, unfortunately. So us sending you in a different way is not going to help. Hate to say it, but CD-ROM might be the only way out.
For him, perhaps.
Yeah, but then if you have a slow CD-ROM drive, that's not going to work very well either.
Exactly. All you need is a 14.4, and you can read anything you like.
Okay, another letter. This is a weird question, nothing about hacking or freaking, but I was listening to WBAI a few weeks back, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the music played on the OTH show between segments was this totally awesome Celtic bagpipe jam with cool hard drum beats playing under it. Who is that?
That was
please, tell me who the artist is so I can get this music. Thanks, Tony Z. Do you know what he's talking about? I have no idea, no clue at all.
That was pretty cool.
Why would we be playing Celtic music with drum beats? First of all, I don't think anything like that exists. Second of all, if it did exist, it would probably scare me so much I'd stay away from it. I don't know. I'm not sure where such things could happen. Can you close the door to the other studio, please? Thank you. Yes. That was Ashley McIsaac passing by just there. No, actually, it's a. Where did my CD go?
It's in the player. It's in the other studio's player.
No, I mean the actual. Here it is. Okay, Ashley McIsaac from an album called Hi, How Are You Today? You can find it in most record stores, I guess. But actually, the way I found this was by watching Canadian TV, because that's where he's from. And I don't know, for some reason the music up there is just a lot more lively and interesting and diverse. And you get things like this. So,
I don't know what that's all about, eh?
Yeah. All right, you want to take some phone calls? 212-209-2900. Boy, the hours go by really fast.
We only have...
Yeah, but all the hours. I mean, every week we, you know, we get to this point really fast. And we have more mail, we have more news, we have more things to play with, but we just don't have enough time because we won't be able to take any more phone calls if we... any phone calls at all if we do that. So please keep writing to us, oth@2600.com, or if you don't have a computer, it's okay. Send mail to us. Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 505 8th Avenue. That's an old address. What is it again? 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Yeah. And we have a full switchboard here. I can push any of these buttons knowing that it's not going to be our friend because we already told him not to call. So, good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel.
How you doing?
Tommy Pickles.
How are you?
My deepest apologies for not calling last week.
Yeah, you know, we were all emotionally distraught for hours afterwards, but we got over it.
Yeah, well,
we did.
I'm still not over it. I'm still a little upset that they didn't include the segment that we all thought they should include.
Now, wait. Why don't you tell us what you're talking about?
Well, you know, the show on MTV.
Uh-huh. The Kevin Mitnick special on MTV that Isaac is always puzzled about.
Yeah, it's not a Kevin Mitnick special. It's just a hacker special.
It's just a hacker special.
And there's only really three hackers that are the stars of the show.
Uh-huh.
And that is Mantis, Chameleon, and Shamrock.
Well, it doesn't really matter who was in it, but the question is, well, did they devote any attention to Kevin Mitnick?
No, they didn't.
No attention at all.
And from rumors, what I've heard is, like, because a lot of people who were being interviewed for the show didn't like Kevin.
Really?
Which I found also appalling.
That would be pretty shocking if that were true, but... personally, I think it's what we're probably dealing with here is a demographic issue. Kevin's in his 30s. MTV wants to cater to 18 to 24. Could be something as stupid as that.
That's one of the reasons. They're all three hackers that were the main characters are all under 20.
That's ridiculous. I mean, for them to turn it into something like that, it really shows how much respect people get in this community and how much the real issues are missed. I mean, the Mitnick story is the story, and to just ignore that, well, history will tell a different story.
It will, but, I mean, this network is interested in following a specific format, and they do indeed have an audience, and their advertisers are looking to get the commercials out.
Well, yeah, Isaac, but
audience.
The thing is they spent many weeks asking all about Kevin.
I understand as much, but I would imagine that it wouldn't even be up to the producers, goodbye voicemail, that it would instead be up to the, you know, suited execs up in the way high
yeah.
who are interested.
No, I'm not, of course, that's how it works, yeah. And that's what pisses us off, is the fact that this is how it works time and time again.
Well,
you know, the real story is ignored for the demographics.
The only way that you can really get around this is to just go out and do the thing yourself.
Or to bitch a lot when it happens so that maybe next time, the next producers that come along, we'll have to, like, make some promises to you first.
Well, instead, they may simply say, oh, well, you know, we can't do that and walk away. I'm far more interested in people who would be producing their own films regarding the Mitnick story and distributing that of their own.
There are people like that, from what I hear, but there are also many networks out there. And I think people just need to look. If this is what you want, then support it. If this is not what you want, then don't support it. Simple as that. The people always have the final say.
Yeah, well, it is a shame, and I apologize to be the bearer of bad news. Of course, you know.
Well, you know, I can't say I'm surprised. I really can't.
When I was talking about stuff that should have been covered, I was brought down to view the final product, and I was explained to that. The person who did the interviews and et cetera, is not the controlling factor in it. And all my voicemails were forwarded to the producer of the show and obviously didn't get taken up.
Here's the thing, okay? MTV America has always had this problem, as far as I can see, where they're ratings-driven and they believe certain things about their audience without actually learning anything about their audience. MTV Europe or MTV London, England, whatever they call it over there, far different creature over there. I see pieces from the London affiliate of MTV, and they're great. They're amazing. They talk about this kind of thing, and they get it. And they're not people walking around in the latest fashion with the, you know, grooviest haircuts and everything like that. They're kind of geeky people, and that's great because those are the people we're talking about here. some of the people we're talking about, all different kinds obviously represented, but you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to be a certain age. That's what the community is. If you go to a meeting, you'll see all different groups of people represented. And also Much Music in Canada, they seem to get it. You know, we've had people talk to them, and the people who are out there interviewing everybody, they're the ones that have the say in how the piece looks, not suited executives.
Well, yes, if I recall, the one of the big problems with this particular show is that they were caught into a format where they're supposed to be talking about people and how they're like in quote-unquote real life.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's enough support for it, perhaps MTV will use that footage and maybe do its own, you know, out-of-bounds kind of, say, half-hour, hour special on Kevin Mitnick. If
well, that's what the original premise was. Hey, we're doing a Kevin Mitnick special.
But instead, it was like slotted into this series.
Well, basically, we're doing a Kevin Mitnick special. Talk to us. So they talked to all these people with that assumption, and
okay, so some
now
exec,
they've got all this footage, exec, and they're like, just erasing the Kevin Mitnick part. It's the same old story, time and time again.
Some executive rewrote something.
I did see a lot of footage.
Yeah,
that they did cover, and I saw clips of all the well-known people that we all know.
Uh-huh.
Even officials and stuff like that. A lot of it hit the floor. A lot of it just cutting room floor. It's a very slimmed down product. It's only an hour long.
That's too bad, because I know they got a lot of footage. I know they got a lot of interesting interviews with people. And,
yeah,
it's too bad.
And they did. And it's really, it's a sorry story that it happened this way.
Mm-hmm.
But when I asked why did it take this direction, and they said they wanted to break the stereotypes of the old hacker, you know.
Excuse me?
But they want to break the stereotypes by making stereotypes.
Force them so. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Which is the funny thing. But they said they didn't want to show that. Oh, hackers are all these old men behind computers, fat, bloated.
Yeah, that's the stereotype. That's the stereotype. Hackers are old men behind computer keyboards.
That's what they told me, and I was like, okay, well, you know.
Well, maybe if you're 9 or something, that's the impression, but I don't think that's what.
You know, she sees me every day, and I show her I'm not that flat, floated guy, you know.
Honestly,
don't put me there, sister, you know, whatever.
I think if we actually send some, you know, reasonable information to mm-hmm. MTV and say, hey, listen, you know, we would be interested in, like, seeing the quote-unquote old guys who are, like, really running this whole hacker thing, we might get a response.
Yeah, I think we will get a response. I don't think it's a response you're going
to
want.
I just wanted
I'm being
to break
optimistic
the news
here
again.
For once in my life.
Yeah.
Come on, run with
me. Well, you're going to crash, and you're going to crash hard.
Okay.
I realize a lot of people out there didn't hear the story because I talked to you, Emmanuel, on the net a lot. So
uh-huh.
You knew exactly what I was trying
to
say.
I'm sure this will be a topic of conversation at future meetings and things
well,
like that.
Hopefully a lot of people will come Friday because mm-hmm. that's our last meeting, actually, before we all take off to Vegas.
Wait. First of all, we're not all taking off to Vegas, and
yeah,
second of all, DEF CON, which is what I think you're referring to, mm-hmm. is well, that's the week after the meeting, so people will be back in August.
Yeah.
So
well,
it's not the last meeting.
It's the last meeting before, you know.
Oh, I see. It's right before we do that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can all get together and talk about this, because I tried talking to the people at the network, and they said that the show is not going to air. The show is not planned to air. The show that they just accomplished.
Sounds like take down the film. I'm more interested in, and maybe you could find out more about this, what you alluded to before where you said that it was pulled because people said they didn't like Kevin. I'd really like to know more about that, and if there's any truth at all to that. I don't want to spread rumors or anything.
I honestly doubt it.
Yeah.
I know. We're not in the job to spread the rumors, actually, but another reason why Kevin wasn't in it, I was told, was because there was no interview. And they didn't want to do like an old Dateline
mm-hmm.
type of feature where they do a voiceover in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
They said that wasn't going to make the show be really cheesy if they did that way. And from a media type view, yeah, that would be really crappy. But
yeah, but you see,
protest type of view, yeah, they should have had some features.
Here's a smart way to look at it. If you do a good piece, it's a decent piece, it's a fair piece, then aren't you more likely to get an interview? You know, why should Kevin agree to an interview with MTV when he's agreed to no interviews with anybody before, when there's not really a good track record before, and now this? You know, obviously that's not the way to get the interview you want. You have to have a reputation of good reporting and be desirable. All right.
Well, it's a shame. We'll talk more when Friday comes
along. Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks for calling. Unfortunately, we've used this about all the time for calls, but let's see if we can wail through some more. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm guessing this will take a while to explain, but I was kicked out of the PC Expo in New York because I'm under 18.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they only allow people 18 and over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but the reason is because they think that, like, if we break something or something falls on us or something, uh-huh. that we're going to have to pay more. Like, the insurance is going to be something like that, but...
I think the reason is that they just don't think kids are interested in computers.
Well, I mean, I was there with a group of friends and everything, and it just pissed me off because my day was ruined because of that.
Well, I mean, take that into account. You know, these are the people that make these decisions. These are their values. They don't respect people under 18.
No, it's not a matter of not respecting. They don't want to have to deal with problems that arise. For instance, you fall down a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
They are legally responsible for certain things that they wouldn't be if this individual wasn't.
So they don't allow handicapped people in either. They're more likely to fall down the stairs now, aren't they?
There's a difference because the handicapped person is...
a person, as opposed to an 18-year-old.
Well, I'm not going to get anywhere with this, so keep going through the calls.
All right. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Emmanuel. I just...
Bye. Good evening. You're on the air.
Can we do that more often?
Yeah. You were talking...
Good evening. You're on the air.
I guess we are doing it more often.
Hi, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Okay.
Did any of you guys make it to my movie?
I know I didn't. I don't know. Did Isaac, did you make it to his movie?
Movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the MTV thing last week, so what is this
Well,
movie?
Weren't you here? Was Isaac on the show that week? I'm pretty sure he was.
Pork Chop was.
Oh, maybe that's the show you skipped. Okay, well,
I didn't
obviously,
skip it. I was busy.
Obviously, he didn't know about it because he wasn't here. But I know I didn't make it. Maybe some of our listeners made it.
But it's so weird. I mean, talking about the voicemail of BAI, and you still haven't corrected your 2600 voicemail where the system goes, there's no one with the last name Goldstein. I mean, what gives?
Well, we don't understand how that system works either. It's a nightmare. We're looking for a new system. If anyone out there has a voicemail system that works better than ours, please let us know because we hate our system.
The last thing is, you should set a deadline for your $10,000 contest about getting on the World Wide Web with an Amiga. If no one claims the prize by the year 2000, you should hold a raffle for all the BAI listeners to win the money. What do you think?
$10,000?
Wasn't that a wire thing?
Don't you guys offer $10,000 for anyone who can get on the World Wide Web with an Amiga?
No, we never offered anything like that. We never would offer anything
that. I know
that are
on the World Wide Web, so I wouldn't offer $10,000
for it. We don't have $10,000 to offer to anybody.
That's
so,
exactly what I was just going
to
say.
That's a pretty scary thing that people think that we did. All right, I'm going to really race through this one call here. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Have you heard about something called a comprehensive annual financial report?
No, it sounds too bureaucratic for me to even take an interest in.
Well, it's something which, as far as I know, one of the main ways that you can even find out about it is through the web.
Uh-huh.
And seemingly what's going on is that the government, there are reports that the government has a budget that it puts out and it says what it'll pay for, but that there's an unspoken budget which is 3 to 5 times larger.
Uh-huh. So there's some sort of secret skullduggery going on here.
Well, yeah, and just about one of the only ways that you can find out about it is by getting on the web.
Well, the web is the key to finding out a lot of information. Unfortunately, our radio show is not going to be the key to find out any more about this because we're really out of time. In fact, we're over. Thanks for calling. Please call back in a future show. Maybe we can talk more about this. We'll be back again next week. Again, our voicemail number 212-209-2967. Please don't fill it up, Rebel. And our email, oth@2600.com. And
I'm going to go play with my Snapple cap now.
Why don't you do that, Isaac, and use yourself. And we'll be back again next week. Manuel Goldstein for Isaac Porchop. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For Billy Bump, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, from Billy Bump.
You are tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Stay tuned for Tahrir.
Good evening. This is Tahrir, Voices of the Progressive Arab Muslim Community Here and Abroad. I'm Barbara Nimri Aziz, the host and executive producer of Tahrir. And in the background, you hear our theme. This is the Iraqi Drum Ensemble. It's just after 9 o'clock, and we have a full show for you today, as usual, up to 10 o'clock. We'll hear from author Amr Hussein. We'll be speaking with Dr. Mahsouma Al-Mubarak of Kuwait University, speaking about the proposed right of Kuwaiti women to vote, something that's coming up very soon and it will concern all of us. We'll also speak with Hussein Ibish, our regular commentator from Washington, D.C. Well, before we go on to our interviews, I want to make a few comments again, continuing with our general theme that everything is political. And today I just want to mention two newspapers which I received. The most recent one was sent to me a few months ago, and I like it very much. I want to tell you